Good to see you this morning. This is the Lord's Day. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. I want to make mention here, first of all, as a reminder, there's some boxes on the outside there, and those are for children's gifts for the Shawnee Community Services, and you can bring new or old toys or books. Yesterday we went through some of the things we had that we could give, so we brought in a little box this morning to add to that. So I encourage you to do that, and this is an opportunity. We have until probably about the 11th of December, that week, the second week of December, we'll be taking these to the Shawnee Community Services. So today we continue our study of the book of Hebrews. And a time of thanksgiving, we're going to take a look at this great chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. And the title of the message today is A Better Walk. The book of Hebrews talks about things that are better and how we can have a better walk. So let's bow the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you for each one that's here today. We praise you. We thank you for this time of year. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill your servant, give the words to speak and to say according to your will. And Father, I pray that you anoint those words, anoint our ears to hear those words, anoint our heart to receive it, anoint our hands, feet to live and to walk in the way that you would show us to do that. Father, I pray, we give you praise, we give you thanks, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a hall or a wall or a walk of fame. And this is a place where individuals or achievements, usually a group of electors, they mock their fame in their field area. In some cases, these halls of fame consist of actual halls or museums which enshrine the honorees with sculptures and plaques and displays of memoria and general information regarding the inductive recipients. Sometimes the honorees' plaques may instead be posted on a wall or inscribed on a sidewalk. In other cases, the Hall of Fame is more figurative and simply consists of a list of names of noteworthy people or accomplishments. So you have the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, I've never been there, but I've had a chance to go to Hong Kong, and Hong Kong has their Walk of Fame. And I had the chance to see that Walk of Fame. There are some, like you see, these plaques that are on the ground, marking the star. And also there are statues. I had to get a picture in front of the Bruce Lee statue. Although I admit that the statue was better looking than my representation. So here we have in Hebrews chapter 11, faith, walk of fame. How do we walk the life of faith? All Christians are called to walk and live by faith. We saw that in chapter 10, verse 38. So here, let us look at what is faith, the definition. How do you describe it? Description and then the demonstration of faith. First of all, a definition of faith. How would you define faith? Now, faith is the words here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So how would you define faith? What faith is not and what faith is? Let me suggest to you, first of all, that faith is not superstitious feelings. This faith has no evidence. Reminded of Isaiah, the words here, "You, Lord, have abandoned your people, the descendants of Jacob. They are full of superstitions. From the east, they practice divination like the Philistines and embrace pagan customs." Living in Taiwan for 9 years, there was a lot of superstitions in Taiwan. I remember the barber shop, and of course, twice a month they would set up a table and offer incense and food offerings. So I asked the barber there, I said, why are you doing that? And she said, I don't know. I just do it with my neighbors. And that's superstition. I feel like this is something I should do. Paul also said to the people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very, again, the word superstition there, but it can also be the idea of very religious. Very superstitious. And so, to them, feeling is believing. I feel I have to do this. Of course, we have a lot of people around us who have these feelings of superstition. You know, the cross your fingers and, you know, the black cap, you know, the Friday the 13th, the horseshoe, the four-leaf clover. A lot of people have superstitions. But that's not faith. That's not real faith. Secondly, faith is not intellectual thoughts. It's not the knowledge of the facts. This faith has knowledge about God, but it's more than that. For example, James 2:19. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You have the knowledge that there is a God. That's good. The demons believe that. To believe in what you can see requires no faith. Seeing is believing. So the first group, feeling is believing. The second group, seeing is believing. Even the devil knows there's a God. The demons know that there is a God. You can't help but look at God's creation and not know that there's a God. So, faith is not this. Faith is, we see here, is real, trusting heart. We put our faith in our hearts, and there's an object of faith. This faith has unshakable confidence in God, not in ourselves. To believe in something you cannot see and place confidence in its reality, as if you could see, hear, taste, and touch, and smell. This is genuine faith. So here, as we're reminded in 2 Corinthians 5:7, believing is seeing. All right? Believing is seeing. That's true faith. We believe. Now, we exercise faith all the time. I don't understand how electricity works. I've never seen electricity. But I believe I turn the switch, the light will come on. We use faith every day of our lives. Another example of what real faith is. Number four, faith is true, faithful walk. This faith has action for God. To believe is to be willing to act upon belief. In the same way, faith by itself is not, if it is not accompanied by action, James tells us, is dead faith. You see that his faith and his actions are working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. So here, believing is walking with God. And so the last two are really the definitions of true faith. Believing is seeing. Believing is walking with God. Let me give you an illustration of this. This is a true story that happened. I think it was Niagara Falls. Now, I grew up not far from Niagara Falls. How many of you have ever seen Niagara Falls? All right, a few of you have. I grew up not far from there, about 100 miles from Niagara Falls. So I've seen Niagara Falls many times. And there's a lot of stories about Niagara Falls. But here's one true story that I thought was very interesting. And this is the story of a tight rope walker who tied a rope across the waterfalls. And then he asked the crowd that gathered if they could believe that he could walk across. Yes, they yelled, and he did it. He walked across. And then he asked how many believe he could walk across the falls on the rope pushing a wheelbarrow. Yes, you can do it, they screamed, and he did. Then he asked how many believed he could do the same thing, but this time with a person in the wheelbarrow. Oh yes, we believe it, they exclaimed. Then he asked, which of you will be that person? No one responded. Faith is having the confidence to get into the wheelbarrow and trust the one pushing. Have you put your full faith and trust in God, giving every area of your life to Him? Or do you just say you trust Him, refusing to get into the wheelbarrow and let Him guide you? Faith must have an object. And the proper object of genuine faith is God. So you see, faith isn't a feeling. It's a choice to trust God, even when the road ahead seems uncertain. So what is faith? You may not realize it, but when you sat down in that chair, you exercised some faith. I didn't see any of you testing that chair before you sat down. I didn't see anybody going like this. And then testing the chair and you put your whole weight, you sat down, you put faith in that chair that would hold you. We use faith all the time. But the important thing to understand is faith, believing is seeing, and believing is walking with God. That's what faith is. It's getting in the wheelbarrow. And number two, the description of faith. And we find here in Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us a description of faith. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So what is the basis of faith? Faith is based upon, first of all, substance. Substance means to stand under, to support. Faith is to a Christian what a foundation is to a house. You don't build a house without having a foundation. Faith is the foundation for Christian life. It gives confidence, it gives assurance that He will stand. It is so important we have this substance, this support underneath. But faith is also based upon evidence. Evidence means a conviction. This is an inward conviction from God that what He has promised, He will perform. God said it, and He will do it. So the object is faith is God. The object of faith is also the Word of God. The presence of the God-given faith is in one's heart is conviction enough that He will keep His Word. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message or the Word of God, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ, about Christ. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's evidence. It's not blind faith. There's evidence. And we put our trust in the object that we're trusting in God, not ourselves. But faith is also based upon witnesses. And we have many witnesses. Just like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, probably over 520 people that saw Him, that were witnesses, that the Scripture tells us of their names and numbers them. And here we see This list of men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 is so great a cloud of witnesses as 12:1 tells us. We have this cloud of witnesses to encourage us in our faith and our walk with God. So let us look at and consider this. You know, faith is also a very practical thing. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. As a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as if it was the present, and the invisible as if it was seen. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's Word in spite of circumstances and consequences. This faith operates quite simply. God speaks, and we hear His Word. We trust His Word and act on it, no matter what the circumstances are or what the consequences may be. The circumstances may be impossible, and the consequences may be frightening to us and unknown. But we obey the Word of God just the same, and believe Him to do what is right and what is best. It's very practical. And then we see that faith, the demonstration of faith. And so, we're told here in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, these words are repeated over and over, by faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, Moses, the people, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, the women, and others. At least 16 names are given here, and at least 4 different categories. Women and men and women and children, all others showed faith. You know, this hall of faith, this walk of faith, you walk down this and look at these examples of faith. It didn't end in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Throughout the history, there have been men and women of faith. Even today, there are examples to us. But let us see what faith does. First of all, faith worships. Abel obeyed God by faith. He was a true worshiper of God. Look at verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11. Please have your Bibles open to Hebrews 11. Verse 4 here we see, by faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By the way he worshiped God in obedience, he still speaks today that we need to worship God in obedience. And so, faith worships. Number 2, faith walks. That's the key, the better walk. Faith walks. And here we see the example of Enoch. Enoch walked with God by faith. And he had both the desire to please God and the diligence to seek God. Look at verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And then verse 6, very important. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Enoch's walk with God. And you know, Enoch was taken. It's a picture of us, of that when Jesus Christ comes, there's going to be the rapture, where those who believe in Jesus Christ will be taken up meet Him in the air. So Enoch is also a picture of that to us, of what will happen. Enoch walked with God. You know, a lot of times we think that the size of our faith. Well, I have little faith. The Bible says all we need is to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. You know how big a mustard seed is? Look at the period at the end of the sentence. That's how big a mustard seed is. So the smallest of seeds. It's not how big our faith is or how small our faith is. It's the object of our faith, how big God is. And so we remind ourselves of that. Our faith is in God. And then third, faith works. Noah worked by faith. His mind was warned of God. His heart was moved with fear. And his will acted on what God said. Look here at Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. Can you imagine that? He'd never seen rain before. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. So he moved at God's command. And by faith, he condemned the world because he became heir of the righteousness which is in keeping with faith. He walked. Faith works. He built that ark. And all the years he was building that ark, he was preaching righteousness, salvation, the need to go into the ark, as we are to go into Christ. But faith also waits. Excuse me. Faith waits. The patriarchs waited by faith. The emphasis on the promise of God and His plans for the nation of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they all waited by faith. Follow here, starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. He waited upon God. God promised him a descendants. God promised him a nation. And at the age of 99, at the age of 100, Sarah was 99, he had no children. He waited by faith. I don't know about you, but this is one of the biggest tests of faith, is waiting. I don't know if I mind so much seeing the doctor as waiting in the waiting room to get in to see the doctor. We need to understand that faith waits. Faith waits for God. Go on and look here at verse 13. And all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, then only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking into a country of their own. They've been thinking of that country they would have left. They would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He had prepared a city for them. They waited for God, for His preparations. By faith, Abraham, when tested, offered up Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, And so in matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac from the dead. God told him to offer Isaac. How could this be? You finally gave me a son, and I've waited for this son, and now you want me to offer him to you? And then he had faith to believe that God could raise Isaac from the dead, if God so willed. And so he was willing to make that sacrifice, even as a picture of the sacrifice God the Father gave His Son. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to the future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he reigned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction concerning the burial of his bones. Some of the promises they saw come to pass that God had given, but some were still in the future. And so they waited. Faith waits. And then faith also, take note of this, faith also wars. We're in a spiritual battle. We're told by Paul to put on the whole armor of God. And so, take note of this. Moses' parents fought, fight by faith to protect their children. At that time, Pharaoh had told that all the children, the boy children, would be killed. You remember the story, how they acted by faith. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict or the law of the king. Moses also refused and was reproached and then rewarded by faith. He also joined in that battle of faith. Look at here, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here, can you imagine this? The son of the Pharaoh's daughter, he could have anything in Egypt. And very possibly was in line, possibly one of the, could have been in line to become Egypt. And yet we see what Moses did about this. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He made a choice. Faith is also a choice we make. He chose to be reproached. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses, he could have had anything in Egypt. He had Pharaoh's credit card. He could go anywhere, buy anything. I know for you shoppers, that's good news. But he did not choose that. It tells us that he disregarded that. There's greater value is the reward of God. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. His eyes were always upon God. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the application of the blood, so that the destroyer, the firstborn, would not touch the firstborn of Israel. He showed faith, Moses. I enjoy so much seeing Moses, the production, and Branson, and how it encouraged my faith. Faith not only wars, but faith also wins. Faith overcomes. See, the faith that Moses had, the people also. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. They overcame the army of Egypt. I mean, you talk about impossibility. They overcame the highly trained army of Egypt. Faith wins. Joshua and Rahab won by faith. She was saved by grace, by faith, and unto good works. So we read here the account, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for several days. Can you imagine the faith that that took? The first city they faced, Jericho, that great city of Jericho, known for its walls. What's going to be our strategy? How are we going to defeat this city? How are we going to win? God calls upon us to do what only God can do, so that God gets all the glory and praise. We're going to march around the city. What? We're going to march around the city. 7 times. We're going to march around the city. And so they marched. They blew their horns and the wall came falling down. Even archaeologists today find the walls of Jericho had collapsed. And then we see the story of Rahab. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? The faith of Rahab. Certainly, she showed the faith. She trusted God. And you know, it's interesting to take note that it was God's grace that reached down. This great list of men and women of faith. Who would expect to find Rahab's name there? But you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you also find Rahab's name there. God, by His grace, those of us, we're unworthy. We're unworthy of His grace. By faith, by His grace, He saves us. And what she did, she demonstrated her faith and helping those spies and led to the salvation of her family. And then last, take note of this. Faith is worthy. Faith is worthy. These men and women endured afflictions. The world was not worthy of them. Some were even tortured. Read here with me. Verse 32. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and about David and Samuel and the prophets. Men through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of the lions. You remember the story of Daniel shutting the mouths of the lions. Quenched the fury of the flames. Remember the story of the three Hebrew children who went in the fiery furnace and were not even touched by the flames. And escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed the foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again, like the widow with Elijah. And there was others who were tortured, refused to be released, so they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. And they were put to death by stoning. Remember the story of Jeremiah and all those who suffered in the times of Jeremiah and Isaiah. They were sawed in two. You talk about different ways of suffering. They were cut in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Look at all these, Fox's Book of Martyrs, the early church, how many suffered even today. This 20th century, more have died for their faith in this century than all the other centuries combined. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in the holes in the ground. And yet these were all commended by their faith. Yet none of them received what they had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. See, unbelief asks, how can this be? And faith asks, how shall this be? How I'm going to see how God is going to do this. Faith only records also the victories. The best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful. That's why we have this example in Hebrews chapter 11, to walk with the faithful. And so it's always good for us to find a Paul, like a Timothy following after Paul, and Timothy who trains the disciple to follow after him. We follow after the faithful. The fulfillment for the heroes of faith for us is in Christ. And so without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this kind of faith grows as we listen to God's Word, we obey, we walk in fellowship with God. This faith grows. Faith is possible to all kinds of believers in all kinds of situations. It's not a luxury for a few elite saints. It's necessary for all of God's people. True faith in God is found in every generation. A week ago or so, my wife and I had the opportunity to see the story of Desmond Doss. This is an incredible story of a man of faith. And he ended up, his story was written, but then made into a movie recently. This movie is called Hacksaw Ridge. As a young boy, just give you a quick, he had accidentally almost killed his brother. He was fighting with his brother and he took a brick and hit him on the head and almost killed his brother. He grew up with a father who was a drunk and who was beating his wife. And one time he took the pistol and was so close to killing his father to protect his mother. So from that time he made a vow, I will not kill anyone. Then World War II started. And he wanted to go to war for his nation. And so he enlisted he was going to work to save lives. He's going to work as a medic to save lives, not to kill. And so he was not going to carry a rifle. He was a medic. Now at that time, medics usually even carried a rifle to protect themselves, but he would carry no gun. And this story is incredible. In this heated battle against the Japanese in Okinawa, on this ridge, he rescued over 75 soldiers and was awarded the Medal of Honor. The first time in history was given to a conscientious objector. He prayed and trusted God and rescued all these lives, over 75 people. Yes, he was wounded, but he had faith in God. Faith and faithfulness go together. Our faith is to be lived out every day of the week and every action we take, every word we speak, every relationship we make. The measure of a person is not what happens on Sunday at church. Our faith is not here on Sunday at church. Our faith is rather shown Monday through Saturday. How we live out our relationship with God through the week. That is the walk of faith. And so, this song we sung earlier, Faith of Our Fathers, we follow their faith, but we're also to be sons and daughters of faith so that others can follow the faith we have in God. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord, just on Sunday, but throughout the week.